Let's go ahead and get to Proverbs 1. Let's stand. I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and I'll just read it for you. We won't do the alternating thing. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read the first 9 verses, then we'll pray and we'll get started. Chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And it gives us here the reason for the Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Any man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Let's pray, and we'll be seated and get started. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege of not only being in church, but to speak the Word of God. I pray that you'll help us today. Lord, it's important in this Christian journey that we actually live the Christian life, that we actually do what you've told us to do, that we actually practice and try to live the sanctified life, that we are trying to be perfected or matured, that we are being edified and we're being challenged to do the things that you've asked us to do. And so I pray you'll help us today. Help us to take to heart these things that we'll look at. And help us all to be helped from the message. And we'll certainly thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My desire this morning is to challenge not only you, but myself. I want to challenge you. I want to help you. I want to give you some things from the Word of God that will hopefully move us along in our Christian lives. And the title of the message today is this: Are You a Foolish Christian? Are you a foolish Christian? Sometimes we don't think of those two words going together, foolish and Christian, but that's what I want to consider today. Are you a foolish Christian? Now, each of you must answer that question for yourself. I must answer that question for myself. It requires some introspection. It requires some self-examination. It requires some honest, some brutally honest self-examination. Am I living the Word of God? Am I doing what Christ wants me to do, has asked me to do, has commanded me to do? Am I doing that? Am I living the Christian life? And so we have to be honest with ourselves in this regard. Now, Solomon, the author of the Proverbs here, I mean, God, the Holy Spirit, of course, is the supreme author, but Solomon is considered to be the wisest man that's ever lived. And in the book of Proverbs, we have his writings. Of course, God inspired it. But his things that he has learned, things he's teaching his son. We see, for instance, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." And so in verse 10 as well, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." So great, wise things that we can learn from the Proverbs. And so Solomon presents three characters to us here in his Proverbs. You may have seen them as we've read through, but let me point them out to you again. In verse 4, we see the first individual. It's called the simple. It says to give subtlety to the simple. The second character that he talks about here is in verse 5, a wise man. There in the first three words, a wise man. And so we have the simple, we have the wise man. Then in verse 7, we have the third individual who is the fool. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so we see three characters there. We see those characters throughout the book of Proverbs. There are some, I would call it, subset characters. For instance, mockers, scorners, there's other individuals mentioned, but these are the three biggies. the simple, the wise, and the fool. And probably out of those three, the wise and the fool are the most talked about, many contrasting verses that contrast one or the other. So Solomon organizes all people into these three categories, the wise, the foolish, and the simple. These categories are not dependent upon age or class or race or gender or socioeconomic status. Rather, they are determined, listen now, by one's direction in reference to the Lord. The direction of the individual in reference to the Lord. In other words, are they moving towards the Lord or are they moving away from the Lord? Those who are moving towards the Lord are called wise. This person is not a perfect or more intelligent person, but rather a person who will gain understanding. Listen to these two words. Apply understanding. We'll see that in Scripture here shortly. And change his life based on what he hears in Scripture. If we look at verse 5 again, it says, a wise man, so here we're talking about this wise man, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain or listen or take heed to wise counsel. That's the wise man. He applies understanding. Now, I'm going to define what understanding is here shortly, but I want you to keep that in your mind. This wise person, he applies understanding. Those who are moving away from the Lord are called foolish. This person is not an ignorant or uneducated person, but rather a person, listen, who doesn't want to apply the understanding because they don't want to change anymore. Oh, my word, I've met lots of Christians like that in my years. I'm okay where I'm at. I've attained this level, I don't want to go any further. They don't say that, but that's how they live. They don't challenge themselves to go to the next step or the next level or to become more sanctified or take the next step with the Lord. They're somehow just happy where they're at. Don't put any more on me. I'm okay. Those really are foolish people. They don't want to change anymore. This person thinks he's doing just fine on his own and doesn't need any more help, especially not from the Lord. So let's look at that individual again. He's in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We're going to see some more about those words in a moment. Thirdly, those who are not moving at all with respect to the Lord, on account of age, often young people fall into this category, just because they're young, age, inexperience, or incapacity of some sort. When I was studying for this, I was thinking of our Sunshine class. Those individuals would be considered simple. Now that's not a bad thing. It's because of their mental capability they're not able to have understanding as we might have. And so they would fall into the category of simple. So many times it's just because of age. A young person would be considered simple. They don't have the years of experience to gain and gather wisdom like an older, more mature person. So it could be on account of age or inexperience or an incapacity of some sort, these folks are considered simple. This person is not an unreligious or immoral person, but rather a child or childlike person who is just starting out on the path of life and thus is about to decide whether to move toward the Lord or away from the Lord. Now, that's an interesting statement because I find that many teenagers, when they get into that 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, those years right there, they may not realize it, but their life is such where they're almost like, you know what, I'm trying to decide whether I want to go toward the Lord or away. And unfortunately, many are walking away from the faith. Seen that over and over again too throughout my years of ministry. Walking away from the faith when they get into those teenage years, it's a difficult thing. The crossroads are before you. Which fork will you take? It's critical to understand, however, that we cannot remain simple forever. For instance, it's okay for a baby to smear spaghetti in her hair, but by the time she turns 30, society will demand much more from her than that, right? So these are the three individuals that Solomon points out, the simple, the wise, and the fool. We're not going to talk much about the simple today. We're going to look at these other two. So let's go a little further. In Proverbs, I want us to see the four words that formulate the process which God uses to develop wisdom in His children. Now, in case you haven't picked up on it yet, wisdom is the goal. We need to have wisdom. We need to attain unto wisdom. And throughout Proverbs, we see the importance of wisdom. And Solomon points that out many, many times again. In fact, in verse 2 here, look at it again. Verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon. So this is like, here I'm presenting to you the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Why? To know wisdom. We can gain wisdom just through the Proverbs. We can gain wisdom through the entire book, the entire Bible. We can attain wisdom from God Himself. James 1:5 tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give it to us liberally. But oftentimes I think that we shouldn't mistake wisdom for some kind of a magic, you know, magic something that God puts on us that all of a sudden we have all this great, you know, how to get the right answers and such. No, there's a little more to it than that. But in Proverbs we see four words which formulate the process that God uses to get wisdom to us. And I want us to see these four words here briefly. The first word is instruction. If we look at verse 2, it says, to know wisdom, again, the purpose of the Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction. Also in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Also in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction. And we could go on. There's many, many other verses that use this word, instruction. I've just limited it to these three for sake of time. So what is this instruction that Solomon's talking about? Well, obviously it's the teaching. It's the instructing. It's the giving out of God's Word. It's thus saith the Lord. It's the Bible says. And going on, it's the instruction, it's the teaching. And God presents information to us through this instruction. Turn with me, please, hold your place there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, a very familiar passage. And I know we've all looked at it many times, but let's look at it again. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Here it comes now. For instruction in righteousness. In other words, the teaching of right living. The instruction, the giving out of knowledge, it's the instruction. Okay, it's self-explanatory. It's the instruction that God has for us. Go back to Proverbs. Let's look at chapter 4. Proverbs 4. We'll mainly stay in Proverbs today, but that was one exception going over to Timothy. Proverbs 4, verse 13. Look at the instruction here. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Look at chapter 5. Verse 12, and say, how have I hated instruction? Okay, this is the opposite, of course, this person's hating instruction. And my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. So we see this instructing. This instruction is the first of these four words that I want us to see this morning. The second word is knowledge. So the first word is instruction. The second word is knowledge. Let's look at verse 4. Again, the reason for Proverbs. Verse 2 tells us to know wisdom and instruction. Verse 3, to receive instruction. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, but also to the young man, what? Knowledge. Knowledge. Let's also look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And again, there's many, many places we could go through Proverbs and see lots more of those mentions of the word knowledge, but for time's sake, we'll leave it at that. But I do want you to turn to chapter 8 and verse 10. Chapter 8 and verse 10. Just another example here. In fact, this is pretty neat because it has our first word and our second word in the same verse. Verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. And then we can even take it further if we wanted to see. Verse 11 says, for wisdom is better than rubies. And so anyway, in verse 10 we see instruction and we see knowledge. So what is knowledge? Well, knowledge is the information that we receive as a result of the instruction. Right? Pretty simple. We're instructed, we receive knowledge. If my teacher says, okay, class, 2 plus 2 equals 4. I may not have known that before, but now I do. The teacher instructed me, now I have knowledge of 2 plus 2 equals 4. So these four words are one builds upon the next. So instruction, then knowledge. The third word I want you to see and consider this morning is understanding. This is where it really begins to get important. Understanding. Look at verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. That's the knowledge. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. We see this understanding. And then verse 6. To understand, not understanding, but understand a proverb. So we see this word understanding. What does that mean? Well, it's the meaning. If the teacher taught me 2 plus 2 equals 4, she would probably draw out maybe some stick figures and with these two men here, and then we add two more men, or you know, had two apples, we add two more apples. Now they begin to explain it to me. It's the meaning of the instruction that we got knowledge from. It's the so what about the knowledge. It's the so what. It's the how does it apply to me. That's what the understanding is. It's okay, I've been instructed. Now I have knowledge, but what does it mean for me? It's the so what. That's very important. That's where it starts to get very, very important. Let's look at chapter 14. Again, I'll just show you a couple examples here. There's many, many places. Chapter 14 and verse 33. Wisdom, of course, that's the ultimate goal, resteth in the heart of him who? Him that hath understanding. So the understanding is very important. It's not enough to just receive the instruction. Okay, I've been instructed, but now I've got this knowledge. But what do I do with the knowledge? I have to know the understanding. I have to know the meaning of it. What does it mean? And I have to receive, what does it mean for me, and what do I do with it? That's very, very important. The first two, you know, knowledge, Corinthians tells us, knowledge puffeth up. If we just get knowledge, you know, our head gets bigger and bigger, we're learning more, but what are we going to do with it? That's where understanding comes in. And so, chapter 14, verse 33, then chapter 15, see one other instance here, chapter 15, verse 14, the heart of him that hath, get it now, understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. And again, there's many places in Proverbs we could see this word, understanding. That brings us to the fourth and final word. So we've considered instruction, that's the teaching, that's the instruction, that's the giving out, that's thus saith the Lord, the Bible says, that's the instruction. Knowledge is what we receive as a result of the instruction. Understanding is the so what. It's the meaning of that knowledge. And then fourthly, we have this word, wisdom. Wisdom. Verse 2 again. To know wisdom. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. And wisdom is, boy, it's mentioned many, many, many times in Proverbs. And again, we won't look at all those because of time. But listen, wisdom is the end result. It is the goal of every believer. It is the opposite of foolish. Okay, we talked about the three individuals, simple, wise, foolish. Well, guess what? Foolish and wise are like at the extremes of the spectrum here. Foolish on one side and the wise on the other. It's the opposite of foolish. Someone has said this, wisdom is the capacity to make proper use of the acquired knowledge. And that we have to have the understanding to do that. Okay, I've been instructed. I've received knowledge. Let me skip understanding for a second. Wisdom is the right use of that knowledge. But I have to have the understanding of what does it mean for me. Then I use wisdom to put it into play. Does that make sense? And so these things build one upon the other. Look at Proverbs 4. And I'm going to read the first 7 verses here quickly. But I want you to watch for these words. I want you to watch for all 4 words and watch how it all plays together. And there's other places we could look at, but we'll just go to chapter 4 here, verse 1. Hear ye children, here comes the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. In other words, listen to your father's instruction. And for us, it's listen to God's instruction. He doesn't mention knowledge, but it's understood there. Obviously, you're going to get some knowledge if you listen to the instruction. But then, attend to no understanding. You need to not only get the knowledge, but to work at getting the understanding so you know what in the world it means. What does this mean? Furthermore, what does it mean for me? And how is it going to benefit my Christian life? Let's read on. Verse 2. For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. Who's her? Wisdom. And she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now, the very famous verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Goes on to say, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The understanding has to precede. We must have the instruction. We gain the knowledge. We have understanding. Now wisdom helps us to put it into play. What did I say? We're going to read so many verses. 7. Okay, we've done that. Yeah. Okay, so those first 7. Now go back to chapter 5 and verse 1. We're going to shift gears here in a second. Or over to chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Love the word picture. He's saying, listen, look here. Bow thine ear to understanding. Father, you've instructed me. I've gained the knowledge. But you know what? What does it mean? What does it mean for me? How will it make a difference in my life? How can I be more like Christ because of what you've just taught me? What is the understanding and how can I use it in my life? I need the wisdom to put it into play in my life. Attend thine ear unto understanding. So we have these 4 words and one builds upon the other. One leads to the next. We get the instruction. Then we have knowledge because of the instruction. Then understanding comes and then wisdom. Let's look at chapter 2 quickly. There's another place that puts all this to play for us. Very good stuff. I'll read quickly the first 11 verses. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, watch. Get the verbs. Look at the verbs in all this. So that thou incline. thine ear unto wisdom. Watch, and apply thine heart to understanding. What does it mean for me? What do I do with it? Apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou, here comes another word, a verb, criest after knowledge. There's knowledge. And here's another verb, liftest up thy voice for understanding. What does it mean? Yea, if thou criest after us, I read that already, verse 4. If thou seekest, another verb, if thou seekest her as what? Silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Look, all these words again. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Oh, look at this. Understanding shall keep thee. And then verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men. Watch and keep the paths of the righteous. Listen, if you are doing verse 20, if you're walking in the way of good men and you're keeping the paths of the righteous, guess what? You're not being a foolish Christian. You're being a wise Christian. Now, let's shift gears a little bit. We saw three individuals that Solomon lays out in the book of Proverbs. Number one was the simple, the second one was the wise, and then we saw the fool. Then we see the four words that work together. It's the formula that God gives for us to receive, ultimately, wisdom, but it begins with instruction. Instruction takes place, we receive knowledge, then the meaning is given to us, now we have understanding, and now we use wisdom to apply the understanding, and guess what? I might say this later, but I may have left it out, but wisdom begets wisdom. When you use wisdom to apply the understanding into your life so that you can do what you've been taught, God then gives us more wisdom. I think that's amazing. Let's move into the application a little bit here. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., then at 11 a.m., again on Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and yet again on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we receive instruction. There's our first word. We receive instruction from the pastor. Instruction from the Word of God, more specifically. This then gives us knowledge. It may be things we've heard before. It may be something we didn't know. Or maybe something that builds upon something we already know, but now we learn more about it. But we're receiving instruction from the pastor, whoever's teaching, and therefore we then gain knowledge. Furthermore, the preacher and or teacher then gives the meaning, the explanation, the understanding. What does it mean? And how does it apply to my life? That's really what we have to know. It's meaningless to stand up here and just blah blah blah, a bunch of words that we don't explain it, we don't tell what does it mean for you, how can it help you, how can it help you grow, how can it perfect you, how can it edify you, how can it mature you in the faith. You must have the understanding. What does it mean? Wisdom is when we choose to apply the knowledge and understanding to our lives, allowing it to perfect us, to mature us, yea, to change us and transform us, conforming us to the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. You see, when we take the understanding, what does it mean? And we have to use wisdom is actually choosing to do what we just learned. That's wisdom. And when you're wise enough to make that choice, God gives you more wisdom. As I said, wisdom begets wisdom. It is a wise person who makes a wise choice to apply the understanding, and as a result, God imparts more of His wisdom. By contrast, watch now, it is a foolish person that fails to apply the understanding. Now, here's where it might get rough a little bit. Maybe not, but maybe. But let's look at Proverbs 12 real quick. We'll just turn there. We'll not look at the verse yet. I want to say something else here. As we could look through Proverbs at the contrast between the wise and the foolish, over and over again we see that it's the wise man that's inclining his ear to instruction. He wants to know more about God and of God. He's deliberately and by choice walking towards God, and that's his direction. You see what I'm saying? That's the wise individual. And when he receives more instruction, he's like, oh goody, more instruction, more knowledge, not for the sake of knowledge, but what does it mean? Okay, I've got to put that into my life now and live it. And I get more wisdom. By contrast, the foolish person says, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Is he saved? Yeah, he's saved. This foolish Christian has reached a, we call a plateau in their Christian life. They just don't want to go any further. Don't ask me to do anything more. There's lots of ways to describe it. I don't want to take the time, but they almost turn their ear away from what God is saying. Now listen. You go back to the question here. Are you a foolish Christian? Am I a foolish Christian? We have to answer that for ourselves. As we look further into this, we'll begin to see, well, what really is a foolish Christian? Let's go a little further. Well, let's look at verse 15, then we're going to go further. So I said chapter 12, verse 15. Here's the problem. Just in the first part of the verse here. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Lots of ways we could apply that, but in context of our sermon this morning, here it is. Yeah, preacher, I know what you're saying, and I know that the Bible says that, but you know what? It's just not for me. It's right in his own eyes. He's going to do what he's going to do, because it's right in his own eyes. Doesn't matter what God says. That's foolish. I see what the Bible says. He may even understand. He may have the understanding, but not the wisdom to apply it. He never applies it. And so, he's foolish. Now, just for us to see what exactly we're talking about here, I just picked out, at random, I picked out four examples that we could look at. There's many. In fact, after I wrote them down, I thought, well, these four are really, I guess these four are the biggies that I've seen throughout my Christian life. I didn't purposely choose it, but after I wrote them down, then I said, yeah, I've seen these time and time again. We can reduce all I'm saying here to very basic terms, and it's this. Obedience is wisdom, and it brings wisdom. Disobedience is foolish. Now, let's just look at some examples here. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse number 9. Chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance, your stuff, more specifically, your money, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So just as an example, this first category we could say tithing. And we don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but listen, the Bible is clear on the teaching of tithing, that Christians should tithe to the storehouse. In the Old Testament, they called it the storehouse. It was the holding area of goods stored in the temple, and that people would bring their tithe there. Usually it was stuff. It was grain or whatever, their sheep or some some physical things that they had. It wasn't necessarily money. In the New Testament, it's now money. It's our substance. And it's clear that every Christian should give to the storehouse, which is the local church. And I'm not talking about throwing in $1 or $5. Listen, my friend, the Bible explains to us that we give 10%. It all belongs to Him. 100% is God's. He lets us manage 90, but He wants 10 back. That is clear scriptural teaching. And yet, through my years as a pastor, through my years as a believer, through my years as a teacher, I've seen time and time again where Christians disobey that command. Have they received the instruction? Yes. Did they gain the knowledge? Yes. They may not agree with it, but it's in the Bible. They have the knowledge. Did they receive the understanding? Yes. The pastor or the teacher or whoever would have explained what it means and how it could even bless you. But they say, it's not for me. And the fool says, the fool does that which is right in his own eyes. And therefore, he's a foolish Christian. You see what I'm saying? Now, people argue, well, I don't see it that way, or that's just your interpretation. Look, don't. God says what He says, and He means what He said. If He didn't, He should then said what He meant. But He's pretty clear about this topic. And 10% is the number, and that's what we're to do. If we're wise, we get the instruction, we get the knowledge, we then find out what it means, that's the understanding. We use wisdom to deliberately choose to implement that knowledge into our lives so that we can move on down the road in our Christian faith. And that's wisdom. Let's look at another example. These are just brief examples. Ephesians 4. And again, I didn't choose these on purpose. I was just saying, okay, let me just think of examples here. Okay, one. Okay, number two. Yeah. Okay, three. And then after I wrote them down, I looked at it again. You know, I said, oh, interesting. Those are really the biggies that I've seen people struggle with. Ephesians 4. You may know where we're going. My. Verse 32 of chapter 4. And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Now, we do okay on that part. We can be kind. The next part's not so easy. Forgiving one another. Oh my. Forgiving one another. And as I said, every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, some preacher stands behind the sacred desk and gives the instruction, and then you receive the knowledge. He goes on to give the meaning, the understanding. What does it mean? And what does it mean for you? And how can it help your Christian life? God wants us to be forgiving as Christ has forgiven us. And yet Christians say, not for me. They may not say that literally out loud, but their actions betray them. They don't forgive. They hold on to a grudge. They cannot forgive. They won't forgive. Well, fool does that which is right in his own eyes. And by your actions to not forgive, you are confessing, I'm a foolish Christian. Ouch. Let's go on to a third one here. Acts 1. We're nearly to the end here. Acts chapter 1. I'm not sure why I chose Acts 1. We could have gone to Matthew 28. Or Mark 16 and other places, but Acts 1 was the choice. Acts 1, the very familiar verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here it is. And ye shall be, what's that word? Witnesses unto me. The third category here, or third thing we could use just as an example, and again, there's many we could fill in the blanks. There's so many commands and teachings in Scripture that we should be applying to our lives, but these are just four, again, they're four biggies. Every Christian should be a witness for Christ. Every Christian. Have you ever in your life led someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Have you ever done that in your Christian life? Oh, I've been saved 30 years, been saved 40 years, I've been saved 50 years. Have you ever led someone to Christ? The answer should be yes. Several somebodies. And yet, and again, the teaching is here, the instruction is there for us. We gain the knowledge of what the Bible is saying. The teacher or pastor gives the understanding. What does it mean? Wisdom says, I'm going to do that. I love preachers' own testimony about that. He said, the preacher, Brother Darnell, stood up and said, every Christian ought to be a soul winner. The preacher said, as a 16-year-old boy, well, I'm a Christian, so I guess that means I better be a soul winner. So he started coming out to soul winning. To be a soul winner doesn't mean you have to come out to soul winning. You can just be a witness. Be a witness wherever you are. Have tracts. Be a witness. Tell people about Jesus. But you know what? Most Christians, many Christians will say, that's not for me. Or I'm not gifted in speaking. Or blah, blah, blah. Or all the excuses why they can't do it or don't do it or won't do it. But wisdom, the wise man says, okay, I heard the instruction. Now I have the knowledge. They've given the understanding what it means. Now I must be wise in applying it to my life. By the way, as a side effect, I'll get more wisdom. But I'll be wise and choose to implement that into my life so that I can do what the Lord's asking me to do. And guess what? I'll mature. I'll be perfecting my faith. I'll be growing. I'll be obedient. And I'll gain wisdom. One more example, and we'll stop here. Galatians chapter 5. And we're doing good on time. Really good, so we'll be done in plenty of time. Galatians 5. So just by way of example, we looked at tithing. We looked at forgiveness. We looked at being a witness. And then chapter 5, verse 16. Paul said, this I say then, watch this command, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The command is, walk in the Spirit. I've heard many messages on walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What's it mean to be yielded to the Spirit? What's it mean to walk in the Spirit? Listen, my friend, I have received the instruction. I have gained the knowledge. I've had the understanding given to me. Here's what it means, and here's why you should do it. Here's how it will benefit your life. The foolish person says, I can't, or I won't, or they don't. Does the foolish person know that verse exists? Yeah, they probably read it many a times. Had they received instruction from the pulpit? Yes. Do they have the knowledge of it? Yes. Have they even understood, get the understanding? What does it mean? Yes. But for some strange reason, they walk in the flesh. Now, according to what we've learned all morning here, that is foolish. That is a foolish Christian. Because the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And most times, this foolish person, I mean, it can be this way, but oftentimes, as a foolish Christian, it's not, oh, well, I'm not doing that. It's not that attitude. It's just we simply don't do it. It's not that you're purposely, you don't purposely say, oh, I'm not going to walk in the Spirit. That's crazy. I'm not going to do that. No, nobody says that. But are you doing it? Are you taking the understanding that the preacher or the teacher gives. Here's the understanding of what that verse means. The knowledge I just imparted unto you. Here's what it means. Here's what it means for you. Here's what it'll do for your Christian life. Now go and do it. The wise person says, I choose to do that. The foolish person just blows it off. There's many areas we could talk about. You know, we just chose these four examples. There's so many that we could look at. In all of these, the tithing, the forgiveness, the witness, the walking in the Spirit, we see the clear instruction from Scripture. We then have gained the knowledge of what it's saying. Then we receive the understanding, okay, what does it mean? How does it apply to me? What should I do with it? And then we choose wisdom. We say, look, I'm going to be wise enough to use that in my life and obey the Lord. As a result, He gives me more wisdom. So we'll circle back around to the beginning here now and ask this question. Are you, and I have to ask myself too, am I? Are you a foolish Christian? Now, of course, it goes without saying you have to be a Christian to start with. If you've received the instruction of what it means to be saved and you have the knowledge of, oh yeah, okay, I must trust Jesus Christ as my only way to heaven, you have that knowledge. But the understanding is, look, it's by the sacrifice of Christ. He died for you in your place. And if you apply it to your lives, He'll save you. That's the understanding. Are we wise enough to then say, Lord, be my Savior and get saved? That's wisdom. The foolish man says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But listen, as we close. You know, I use these four examples, tithing, soul winning, forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge. Walking in the Spirit. Even though I mentioned those, I believe that the Holy Spirit brought one to your own mind because you're not doing it. Remember I said there's so many things we could talk about? Well, one of those so many things may be the Holy Spirit ringing your bell now saying, hey, here's one for you, partner. Here's one that you're not doing. Because you've received the instruction. You've heard the preacher talk about it. You've gained the knowledge. He's even imparted the understanding of what it means. And you are not doing it. That, my friend, is a foolish Christian. So what is it with you? Which one? It might be one of these four. It might be totally different. But we need to be wise. We need the wisdom. We need to be wise enough to make the choice to act on the understanding of the knowledge. And in so doing, God will give us more wisdom. But that's where we're at. We have to choose to do what we learn. I closed in Sunday school with a statement that said something like, we have to move beyond knowing the truth to believing and living the truth. That's really what I'm talking about today. You know, we all have lots of knowledge. But if we compare the amount of knowledge we have with the amount of stuff we're acting on of the knowledge, what are we actually doing and putting in place? I wonder if there's a huge disconnect there.